My father felt that the essence of the holiday of Shmini Atzeres is Simchas Torah, being happy with the Torah. He used to say that Shavuos, we celebrate the giving of the Torah. Simchas Torah, we celebrate the having of the Torah. In a sense, my father didn't phrase it that way, but there is a very strong emphasis on weddings, not such a strong emphasis on marriage. And the Jewish people, the Shavuos is the anniversary of the wedding to the Torah. However, Simchas Torah, that's the celebration of the marriage to the that the Jewish people have with the Torah. And my father said, the way I recall, it's a long time ago, my father said that Sukkot has a universal perspective. Everybody knows that Purim and Sukkot we give the Shivim Purim for the nations of the world. Sukkot, I don't remember if my father said that or not. The Lulav and Esrog, well, he certainly said the Lulav and Esrog is the celebration of the Chag Osef. The Chag Osef, the harvest holiday, that's something that's a universal concept. Everybody understands, the whole world understands the significance of the Chag Osef. And even the Sukkah, the Sukkah represents the Jewish people going through the Midbar, traversing the Midbar, the sustenance, the protection that God offered the Jewish people when they left Egypt going to Eretz Yisrael. But the Sukkah is the temporary dwelling of the Jewish people. In a sense, it represents the Jewish people in their temporary residence. Chutz Laaretz is the temporary residence of the Jew. We could be in Chutz Laaretz for almost 2,000 years, but it's still our temporary residence. Shmini Atzeres, on the other hand, that's the permanent dwelling of the Jew. That commemorates the Jewish people entering into Eretz Yisrael. This is what I think. My father did not express that thought, but I think that it's implied by the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim, although he doesn't say it explicitly. And universalism, anybody who knew my father, especially his Talmidim, he seemed to have a sense of universalism. He wasn't one who said, let's hide from the rest of the world. And he was concerned about all mankind. He talked about the Tzelem Elokim that every human being has. You know, there was a certain Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael who bragged to me that my father held the door open for him. I didn't want to tell him that my father held the door open for everybody, even the janitor in the yeshiva, my father would hold the door open for. Somehow we have this perception that you only have to give respect to people who are Rosh Yeshivas and this, but Kavod HaBrios, respect for all mankind, somehow disappeared. And everybody knows what emphasis my father placed on it. I have mentioned many times, but it's worth repeating over and over, that when we lived in New York, I was a young boy. In those days, we used to go to school by subway. Today, people have difficulty letting their children out of the house unsupervised. But we went to school by subway. And my father would tell me to stay far away from the tracks. He would have me stand by the wall. It seemed somewhat obsessive. It's true, Soloveitchiks are known to be machmir for sakana to an nth degree. But here it seemed just that. But later on I found out the story. a little bit I found out from others, some a little bit from Dr. Kenigsberg, who my father confided in his final, in his later years a lot, that as a young person, he was standing near the tracks in the subway, and a crazy lady came and pushed him on the tracks, and she screamed some kind of anti-Semitic messages. But in the process of pushing my father on the tracks, she also fell on the tracks. But my father was able to climb out of the tracks, and then he helped that lady get out from the tracks before a train came. And there was a Catholic priest at the station, at the train station, and he said to my father, "What's your name?" And my father said, "Aaron Soloveitchik." He said, "Bless you, bless me. I never met a person as holy as you." So when it came to concern for all mankind, my father was outstanding. He had a universal perspective. But it's important to understand, and this is something that is happening today, even within those, the groups that identify themselves as being Orthodox, universalism is very important. But our Jewishness does not emanate from our universalism. On the contrary, by my father, his universalism, his concern for all of mankind, emanated from his Jewishness. We don't mold halacha to accommodate universalism. We are concerned about everybody because the halacha demands that of us. Not because universalism demands that we have a certain type of halacha. There are those who write that unless we interpret the halacha in a certain way, so the Torah has for shalom, the word that's difficult to repeat, is not an Eitz HaChayim. My only response to that is, some of these people, when they think they ate from the Eitz HaDas, we can understand the concern that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, that lest Adam will eat from the Eitz HaChayim. But Shmini Atzeres is an altogether different approach. Shmini Atzeres, as the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Aseh li sudatana. It's a private, personal celebration between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And my father, I remember emphasizing, Kuchabrichu b'oraisa b'Yisrael chadhu. How do we become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Only with the Torah. So Shmini Atzeres is a day dedicated to our private personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is a day dedicated to our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah. And I think this is my father, if my memory serves me correctly, my father suggested that Simchas Torah at night, when we have the Hakafis, many don't even lane at night, but Hakafis they have. That's not in honor of the completion of the Torah. That's in honor of the fact that the day itself is a day dedicated to Torah. Simchas Torah in the day, when we finish the Torah, that's because of the celebration of the finishing of the Torah. And my father would say, that's why in Chutz Laaretz, when they have HaKafah Shmini Atzeres, it's only at night. Because during the day, they don't finish the Torah. I want to suggest, and this could work well with what my father said, but an alternative approach. The Rambam composed, everybody knows, a Sefer HaMitzvos, in which he delineates the 613 mitzvahs. And the Ramban has some hasagos. He disagrees. He disagrees about some of the mitzvahs the Rambam includes. Let's say davening as a requirement every day. And he adds certain mitzvahs. Obviously, if you delineate and you assume there are 613, so you have to add others. And one of the mitzvahs he adds is the mitzvah Birchas HaTorah. There's some discussion as to whether when the Ramban adds Birchas HaTorah, is he talking about the Birchas HaTorah we say in the morning, or is it the Birchas HaTorah we say when we go up and get an aliyah in the Torah? Taurus Rafal discusses it extensively. So, and Gemara in Bracha says, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Hova Godel Elokeinu. And that's where we learn out the mitzvah Birchas HaTorah. When I call out the name of God, I give greatness to God. There's some discussion as to whether the Shem Hashem, with Kishem Hashem Ekra, that has reference to the Torah, that has reference to the Bracha, and Hova Godel Elokeinu, whether that has reference to the Torah, that has reference to the Bracha. However, so the Rambam does not mention the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah is among the 613 mitzvahs. The Torah Shafal says that there was another Gersa in the Gemara, and according to the Gersa, the Gemara retracts, and the Gemara feels that Birchas HaTorah is only rabbinic, and that the Rambam had that Gersa. However, the Mabit, and I think the Aruch HaShulchan also, they suggest something interesting. They say that even according to the Rambam, Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but it's included in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So it's not counted as a separate mitzvah, but it is a biblical mitzvah that's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I think we could suggest an explanation, although it's not compelling. There is a machlokus between the Bala Tanya and the Nefesh HaChaim as to what Torah Lishma means. The Rambam says, the Bala Tanya says that included in Torah Lishma is Dveikus, feeling close to God. That's why among Hasidim there is a great emphasis on saying Tehillim. Because from the perspective of Dveikus, Tehillim is very, very significant. In his later years, my father would say Tehillim, all of Tehillim, every day, very often more than once a day. My grandmother, every night, would stay up almost the whole night saying all of Tehillim. There was a certain inyan of dveikus, of feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reb Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChaim, however, explains Torah Lishma differently. And he says that Torah Lishma means, I guess the best words is, intellectual love of Torah. Love of the study of Torah. And he cites the Rush and the Darim, that there's a distinct, he shows in the Rush and the Darim, that for all the mitzvahs, Lishma is Dveikus. But for Torah, it's for the sake of Torah itself. And Rashi in the Darim, which was not composed by Rashi, the words seem to imply, like the Bala Tanya, that by Torah it's Lishma, that it means for Dveikus. However, Chaim Volozhiner says that it's Lav Davka. However, the Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva says that Torah Lishma means V'chalo'osek bo lo liyira v'lo likabeshchar ela b'nei ava sadon kol aret shetziva ba hareza osek bo lishma. The emphasis on avas Hashem would seem to imply that Torah Lishma is dveikus. There's an element of dveikus, avas Hashem. Now, of course, if someone doesn't believe, even according to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that he's studying the Torah by Kadosh Baruch Hu, then it's worse than not studying Torah. It's Epicursus. If somebody studies Torah as history or as archaeology to understand the way the ancient nations were, then that's not Torah. Torah is only Torah if it's studied because it was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Klal Yisrael and was handed down from generation to generation. That goes without saying. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner himself says that using Torah for Dveikus is very important. And he says at times a person should take a couple minutes out in the middle of his learning, in a sense, to feel the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The machlokis is only what Torah Lishma means. Now the Rambam seems to say that Torah Lishma is Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not clear from the Rambam whether that's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or that's part of the mitzvah, just part of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. But we could assume that perhaps the Mabit held that Torah Lishma is part of the mitzvah, is part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, to learn it mitzad Ava. Now, what is bracha? Bracha is dveikus, baruch ata Hashem. The bracha turns the learning into experience of closeness to God. Blessed is you, HaKadosh Baruch, who gave us the Torah. We could suggest that according to the Mabit, the Rambam Shita, personally, I think the Torah's Paul says is a better understanding of the Rambam, but we could suggest that according to the Mabit, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a mitzvah, Torah Lishma is Dveikus. Therefore, according to the Rambam, the bracha is part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Whereas according to the Ramban might hold like the Rush and like the Nefesh HaChaim, that Torah is... that the lishma is the intellectual love of Torah, and that interestingly enough was the opinion of Avnei Nezer also. So therefore they have Birchas HaTorah as a separate mitzvah. There's a separate mitzvah to say the bracha. It's not part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, my uncle in the Shiurim L'Zecher Abba Mori, he discusses the distinctions between the Takana Kriyas HaTorah that was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu, that you shouldn't go 3 days without Torah, after the incident in Mara, where the people rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they couldn't find water. And the Gemara in Bava Kamma tells us, "Ein mayim ala Torah," and the way they were lethargic, and they were depressed, spiritually lethargic and spiritually depressed, and Torah, in a sense, reawakened them. It was the experience of Torah that was the cause of the institution of Kriyas HaTorah in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, even before there was a mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. But in the time of Bayesheni, my uncle discusses extensively, and at that time, the takana was you should only have to learn 3 psukim, because it wasn't 10 represents an inyan. Here it wasn't to learn, it was to experience Torah. But in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the time of Ezra, HaSofer, there it was based on Limud, on the mitzvah of learning Torah. And my uncle explains all the differences between the Takana of Moshe and Ezra regarding Kriyas HaTorah on that basis. My father, if there was anybody who had Chibas HaTorah, real Chibas HaTorah, I'm not talking about the fake Chibas HaTorah. If anybody had Chibas HaTorah, it was my father. But I want to point out, I think that's the difference between the hakafas at night and the hakafas in the day. The kafas at night is based on the dveikus that Torah gives us. Even the marching with the Sifrei Torahs around the Bima, without anybody standing in the Bima. During the 7 days, we march the Lulavim and Esrogim, the Torah is in the middle. But the Bima is empty. Represents the Shechina. In the day we repeat it. But there it's because, not just because of the Dveikus, it's because of the completion of the Torah. It represents the idea of the Torah Lishma of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the study of Torah. My grandfather went to America a year before the rest, before my father and my grandmother. And for that year, my father's Rebbe was Reb Huttner, between the age of 12 and 13. They learned all of Maseches Bava Kamma, and there was a close relationship throughout my father's life and throughout Reb Huttner's life between the two of them. I remember when Reb Huttner was taken hostage, my father didn't sleep at night. 1 year he was his Rebbe. And my father had a special telephone book where he had telephone numbers, calling government officials, making contact with people to contact the Vatican. And everybody knows how my father wanted to keep distant from such a thing. And when they met for the first time after Reb Huttner was released, it was at Yisrael Prero's, Efronel Avracha's wedding. So Reb Huttner hugged my father and he said, "Ich weiß alles, I know everything." I was told recently that Reb Huttner would sometimes have a boys come into his office to tell him over what my father said in shir. But more, and people, his talmidim, those who were closest to Reb Huttner, say at weddings, years after my father stopped giving shir in Chaim Berlin, when my father would walk into a chasana and Reb Huttner was there, Reb Huttner's face would radiate. See, he was someone who knew my father when my father was very young. He told one of his close Talmidim, who today is considered one of the great poskim of the time, he told him about my father, that my father had chibas haTorah from the cradle. Reb Huttner had tremendous insight into human personality. Things, my father told me, things that the psychologists and the psychiatrists understood years later, he understood many years beforehand. But after my father's stroke, initially, in part of his body, he didn't have any sensation. But then after a while, sensation started coming back, but it came back with a lot of pain. He described it as an electric shock going through his body constantly. And we tried to get him all kinds of painkillers. But at a certain point, he said the painkillers interfere with his learning Torah. So you rather have the pain. That's Chibas HaTorah. Chibas HaTorah is not just giving speeches about the importance of Torah. It's demonstrating it with your life. And that's what my father did. Sukkis, One of the Talmidim, my father, told me, "We heard a lot of Hashkafa Shiurim from your father, but after the stroke, we saw those Hashkafa Shiurim. We say, L'man Yeidu Doraseichem Ki Besukos Hashafiyat Bnei Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. It doesn't say L'man Yisgru, that you remember. L'man Yeidu. Do you have to experience? There are those that teach with words. There are those that give over ideas. And my father did all of that. But when it came to teaching through experience, matter of fact, even in the Shiurim, when I talk to Talmidim, some who are big Talmidim Chachamim, they say, I can hear your father saying it now. It wasn't only the words, it wasn't only the ideas. It was him. We experienced it. Chazal tell us, that Yaakov lo meis, for so long as his descendants are alive, he's alive. In other words, it's the descendants of Yaakov that keep Yaakov alive.
It's my father's Talmidim, and their Talmidim, and their children who keep my father alive. My father taught ideas and words that can all be put down in Svarim, but that's not enough. We have to keep him alive. It's Leman Yehudu Doris Eichem Kibasukos Hashavti Es B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. Okay.